Welcome to the DP Eurasia Interim Results. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen mode only, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Today, I'm pleased to present the CEO, Aslan Saranga, and CSO and Head of Investor Relations, Selim Kender. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to DP Eurasia's 2020 H1 results presentation. For the ones who doesn't know me, my name is Aslan Saranga. I am the Group CEO of DP Eurasia. I have my colleague Selim Kender. Today we'll be presenting you the half year end results. So we are on page 5 in the presentation. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has resulted in unprecedented trading conditions, and I am proud of the way our business has reacted so positively to the challenges. However, governmental measures implemented in our core markets resulted in varying operational constraints. In Istanbul, 26 days of curfew, mostly on weekends and public holidays, whereas in Moscow, the curfew lasted 72 days straight until 9 June 2020. Our first and most important priority in this outbreak was safety of our people and our customers. We took immediate anti-infection measures for the business continuity, such as contactless delivery, contactless takeaway, and compulsory mask utilization to ensure the well-being of our customers and employees. Our supply chain operated business as usual. We took a positive role during the crisis and supported health workers by distributing 150,000 free pizzas with our franchisees. I am happy to report that almost all of our stores are now open for business, for delivery, takeaway, and dining services. I would like to thank all of our employees and franchisees for their sacrifice, hard work, and determination. Now, I would like to a little bit talk about 2020 H1 highlights, page 8. On behalf of the board, I am pleased to report resilient set of results for 2020 H1. Group revenue, system sales is up 3%. Group revenue is down 5.4%. Our adjusted EBITDA for the half year is 12 million. This is 73% lower than last year. But in these numbers, we have 6 million TL of COVID-19 related costs. The Turkish performance performed strongly in 2020 despite COVID-19. We have posted 13.5% like-for-like. This is 3% better than inflation in Turkey. Trading continues to remain strong in Turkey at a like-for-like growth of 27.5% in July and August on the back of the delivery channel. COVID-19 continues to have a deeper effect in Russia. Its effect on our Russian business and its result is also more severe. Like-for-like has been minus 20% in the first half. Due to 76 days of curfew in Moscow, our dining and takeaway system sales were down in excess of 75%. This drop in sales had a significant impact on our Russian profitability. However, we are seeing an improved like-for-like growth of minus 10.9% in July and August. Coupled with the cost-cutting measures that we have taken, we are experiencing an improvement in EBITDA losses. Digital continues to drive our business forward with significant growth achieved in both of our markets. Online ordering as a percentage of delivery has surpassed 75% across the group, an increase of 7.6 percentage points from last year. We continue to grow our store portfolio, adding 18 stores year to date and reaching a total of 754 stores across our four countries of operations. Page 9, about group operating highlights. Like-for-like performance continues to be driven by online. Our online like-for-like has been 32% in the first half. Total like-for-like for the group has been 6%. Store count is 754%. Our corporate and franchise mix remains the same, 68% franchise, 32% corporate. Our share of online ordering growing healthily. At the moment, 60% of our sales are through digital. During the pandemic, due to curfews, our delivery mix has increased from 62% to 72%. I would like to a little bit comment on our Turkish operational performance. Our Turkish business was very resilient during half one, and we have shown a strong performance. Our like-for-like growth has been 13.5%. Online like-for-like growth has been 38.6%. Online sales as a percentage of delivery sales is 70%. During the pandemic, we had 8 store closures due to COVID. Turkish business is continuing stronger with 28% like-for-like growth in July and August. Page 11, you see the operating highlights. Although we had 8 store closures in the last 1 year, our system in Turkey has grown by 4 stores, from 538 to 542. 78% of these stores are franchised, 22% is corporate. 53% of our sales is through digital. Again, in Turkey, our delivery mix has grown up from 64% to 70%. And about the Russian performance, our like-for-like has been minus 20%. Mainly, the reason is mainly the 76 days of curfew in Russia. Online like-for-like growth has been 9%. Online sales as a percentage of delivery has been 90%. We had 4 store closures in half one. And Russian business is making a recovery compared to Q2 20 with minus 10.9% like-for-like growth in July and August. We are in page 13. We have 199 stores in Russia, so we have grown 12 stores. As I said earlier, we have closed 4 stores during pandemic. And our delivery mix has grown from 60% to 77%. In Russia. I would like to little bit give an update about our Russian plan, which I have declared in the beginning of the year. Our Russian plan execution is going very well operationally. Everything is going according to the plan. In January, as I declared before, we have made change in our organization. We have Tarun from India who has managed 1,000 stores in Domino's India. He is our CEO. We have new CFO, and our ex-CFO became the CEO, and the organizational change has been done. And we have also declared that 2020 will be a transition year for Russia. And we have come up with a new marketing strategy. We have made a change in the pricing strategy, in brand communication, and we have launched our customer loyalty program. Our new loyalty program is in trials. And we have a new product development on way, and the new product will be launched on October with a strong marketing campaign. Unfortunately, this plan has started in the first week of March, and in the second week of March, we had the pandemic, COVID-19. So it's very difficult to make assessment about the business results. But on the other hand, I am comfortable and I am happy with the operational execution. The other thing we have started was testing aggregator. We have tested 50 stores with the aggregators, and it was successful. Now all of our stores are working with aggregator. The other plan was to grow in the regions to open new stores. That plan has been postponed due to COVID. Overall performance is improving, as I mentioned earlier. We have two challenges right now in Russia. Eating and takeaway demand is still weak, and Moscow offices are not open. Therefore, our stores in the city center is not back to normal. Rest of our stores are very close to normal or in normal. And our delivery is growing. I have also very good news also. I'm very happy to announce Andrew Rooney joining to our board as an advisor. He's a 25-year veteran of Domino's, and I have known him more than 20 years. We are very good friends with Andrew. He has last served as CEO of European Operations for Domino's Pizza Enterprises Limited. He has been responsible for Germany, France, the Netherlands, Belgium, Denmark, and Luxembourg. In European operation, he has achieved a tenfold increase over a 13-year period under his leadership. I am quite sure that with his experience, you know that we have a potential to grow to 2,500 stores in Turkey and in Russia, and with his experience, he will be a very good advisor to me. He has also granted a call option from our largest shareholder to acquire 4 million DPEU shares at a strike price of £1.05 that expires on 30 September 2022. And as you know, innovation is on the core of our business. Although we have the pandemic and we had a lot of challenges, we didn't stop in innovations. We launched Dumos X-Large in Turkey. This is a larger version of wrap, and it helped us to take a new market shares from burger chains. And we will have a new product launch by October in Turkey and in Russia. As you may remember, we have launched our loyalty program in Turkey in 2019, and that's working very well for us. And in March, we started to trials of our loyalty program in Russia. I'm very excited about this project. Hopefully by the end of 2020, our loyalty program will be in all of our stores in Russia. We are also launching a new CRM program for Russia. And our development team has built a new architecture for our online ordering platform. 50% of our traffic is going through both in Russia and Turkey. Through this new architecture, I believe this new architecture will make our internet online ordering platform more stable, faster, and that will drive our conversion in our online ordering platform. And these are the our group's highlights for DP Eurasia for the first half one. Now I will hand the presentation to Selim.
Hi, everybody. Let's flip to slide 18, please, where let's look into the financials, where we had a resilient half one performance. At the group level, system sales were mainly flat year on year. We did experience growth in Turkey, but that was kind of negated by the COVID-19 related and increased competition issues in Russia, where revenue contracted. With respect to EBITDA, we are announcing an EBITDA of 12 million Turkish liras. It's down about 74% year on year, mainly again driven by the negative like-for-like performance in Russia. This figure also includes 8.6 million in COVID-related costs that we had to incur in the first half. And we believe the majority of these costs, about 7.5 million of this 8.6 million, are considered to be of non-recurring nature. We followed CAPEX very, very closely. As a result, our CAPEX for the first half of this year was mainly in line with the previous 2-3 years, where we came in at 25 million Turkish lira. With respect to cash conversion, due to our EBITDA performance, we didn't cover CAPEX this year during the first half, which resulted in a negative cash conversion. Just as a reminder, we define cash conversion as EBITDA minus CAPEX divided by EBITDA. On to slide 19, where we can take a closer look at Turkey. We've increased cash conversion with controlled CAPEX. System sales increased by 14% due to the strong like-for-like performance that we have achieved. EBITDA is down by about 5%, and this also resulted in a contraction of the margin as well. But bear in mind that this 39 million of EBITDA contains about 5.8 million of COVID-related costs, once again, majority of which is of non-recurring nature. Due to our close and controlled approach to CAPEX, we were able to increase cash conversion in Turkey from 54% to 58%. But, you know, we are continuing with our maintenance investments and also with the continuous investment in digital and IT, which Aslan covered a little while ago. Looking at Russia, there are challenges, as you all know. System sales were down by 15% in Turkish lira terms and almost 21% in Russian ruble terms. On the back of you know, COVID-19 and the related very strict curfew measures that were taken in the market. And you know, the aggregator disruption is also continuing in Russia, which we had mentioned during our full year 2019 announcement about 6 months ago. Obviously, with this drop in like-for-likes and system sales, it had an impact on our profitability in Russia, where we record about minus 22 million in EBITDA losses for the half. But the good news is these losses are shrinking as normalization is taking hold. This is something that we've started experiencing in June. With respect to CAPEX, again, closely controlled, and we incurred about 8 million Turkish lira of CAPEX in Russia. Flipping to slide 21, I would like to go over the balance sheet a little bit. I think one of the main successes we achieved during this period with our resilient performance is that we have maintained our cash position, or rather net debt position. So net debt was virtually level with the December 2019 year-end figure. It only increased by about 4%. We continue to have a no hard currency debt profile for the group. We only have bank borrowings in Turkish liras and rubles. and this is becoming ever more in line with cash flows, as the Turkish lira denominated bank loans make up now 68% of the total loans. Like I said, cash conversion is negative for the health, and due to the shrinking EBITDA, our leverage ratio has increased to 2.6 times EBITDA. But you know, we have ample liquidity, and we believe this increase in the leverage ratio is of temporary nature. We also, as our Treasury Department has succeeded in extending the duration of our Turkish bank borrowing in the face of coming interest rate uncertainty in the market. As at the end of the half, long-term bank borrowing in Turkey made up roughly 50% of our total bank borrowings, whereas in the past we used to rely more on short-term revolver facilities. Moreover, over 90% of our Turkish debt have fixed interest rates currently, as we, you know, look to take advantage of the relatively lower interest rates over the first half of the year. With respect to our Russian debt facility, as you know, we had obtained waivers with respect to our covenants in Q1 and Q2 of this year. We've reached agreement with the bank that they will also not penalize us for any potential breaches for Q3 and Q4, provided that we agree on a new set of covenants based on a mutually agreed business plan, and we're working towards that. As a reminder, you know, our Russian loan is now at a principal of 1 billion rubles, and there is a 0.2 billion ruble cash collateral against it. And you know, our strong liquidity position enables us to repay our Russian bank borrowings if necessary, and we would still maintain a strong liquidity position. As at the end of the half, we had 256 million of cash at hand and additional available bank lines of around 82 million Turkish lira. Going to slide 23, this, as you know, is our midterm management guidance number, and we remain very comfortable with these medium-term financial guidance. However, you know, the board is mindful of the continuing uncertainty surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on the business and wider economy in the countries in which the group operates. Therefore, we are not in a position to provide meaningful guidance on the likely financial and operating results for 2020. But just as a reminder, when we go back to normal, hopefully sooner rather than later, our medium-term guidance is high single-digit like-for-like in Turkey and low double digits in Russia. Obviously, our targets in Turkey also adapt to changes in inflation as well. With respect to the growth of the estate, you know, Turkey, we expect 25 to 30 stores per year, mostly through franchisees. Russian targets are at 40 to 60 stores a year. And just as a reminder, we still see the potential for Turkey to be 900 stores and Russia about 1,500, for a total of 2,400 stores. With that, I'll pass the mic back to Afran for his conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Selim. Now, in order for conclusion, I think we have a strong Turkish results. You know, the pandemic, we are back to normal in Turkey, and our results are even better than before COVID. So we believe we have a huge opportunity in the Turkish market. About Russia, we have challenges in Russia, but I am happy with the Russian plan. Execution is going on very well operationally. So I believe on this, in the medium term, I believe we'll come back to our previous numbers in Russia. Our other strategic advantage is the online ordering platform. Online share continues to increase. 75% of our delivery sales is through our online platform. This is 8% higher than last year. We have a strong liquidity position going forward. We have managed the net debt very well, and it only decreased 4% since December 2019. Our long-term strategic plan opportunity firmly in place despite short-term COVID-19 dislocations. I strongly believe we'll deliver our medium-term targets. Thank you very much for listening to us, and we'll be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask an audio question, you may do so by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. Again, it's 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. There'll be a brief pause whilst we wait for any questions to be registered. Our first question comes from Nikolai Zolviev from VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have basically two questions. The first one is on your July and August trends in Turkey. Can you comment what do you see as key drivers for such a strong acceleration, speaking to any base, not even taking into account of COVID-related limitations? And the second question is on the second half development of your store restaurants network. Do you plan any acceleration in the openings, and by how much in Turkey and in Russia? Thanks.
Okay. About Turkey, there are a couple of reasons. Number one, we have during the pandemic we have invested on marketing, whereas most of the competitors were very silent. And with our innovations like contactless takeaway and contactless delivery, we saw that our trust scores and brand scores has went up. So I was expecting something like this after out of the COVID. And other than that, most of the small mom and pops in Turkey were not ready for online ordering, and that's our strongest part. And maybe we were the most and best delivery company during pandemic. And the other reason, as I said, we have also launched products like wrap and chicken, and so we got the benefit of taking market share, whereas all these small mom and pops were closed. We were able to sell sandwiches, wraps and chicken to the market, so we got also market share from the other companies. So it is really very difficult to give you guidance about store openings. Both in Turkey and Russia, unfortunately, COVID numbers are going up again. But we see some pipeline and demand, especially for Turkey. So depending on the situation, we might open some more stores in Turkey.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Harry Walton from Berger Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks very much for hosting the call. I have three questions. The first is in Russia, I've noticed that the Dodo Pizza are doing about $165 million in revenue in the first half of 2020, whereas Domino's in Russia is doing about $30 million. So I just wanted to see if you can give us an idea of what they're doing so well that we're not. Then the second question is related to Turkey. I see that the EBITDA margin came down quite significantly in the first half of 2020. Is this from increased discounting or elevated operating costs? Because I know you mentioned there were some one-off related costs related to COVID, but you know, even if you take those into account, the margins come down a fair bit. And I would have thought with increased online sales and delivery, you know, we'd see operating costs come down. And then lastly, the question just generally on franchisees and whether any of these have requested to give up their license, and if you're seeing any, particularly in Russia, any franchisees that give up their position. Thank you.
Okay, I'll answer your question one and three, and maybe my colleague Selim will answer number two. Let's start with the franchise. We have solved this problem last year in Russia. As you know, we have bought 22 stores back from our franchisees. Since then, right now in store level, our franchisees are making money, and there is no payment problem. So at the moment, I don't foresee any franchise problem in Russia. About Dodo, Dodo has around 550 to 600 stores. So they are at the moment three times bigger than us. It's a different format. They have only around, if I'm not mistaken, 60-70 stores in Moscow. Rest of their stores are in regions out of Moscow. And Moscow stores and the business in Moscow was damaged more severely compared to rest of Russia. There was a 76 days of curfew in Moscow, and our dining and takeaway sales were down 75%, and the stores were closed. This is the second thing. And as a format, I think it's a different format. Although it has changed a little bit in the pandemic, we are mostly work on a delivery system, whereas Dodo has a big dining and carry out businesses. So it is very, for me, it's very difficult to compare in terms of sales.
With respect to the question regarding margins, our margins came down from 10.4% for the first half of 2019 to 8.7% for this year. But mind you, with respect to COVID, we had to incur additional costs in the range of 5.8 million in Turkey. So if you were to correct for that, the margin would be about 10%. So, you know, there is nothing fundamentally different with respect to discounting, etc. in the business. I mean, you know, 10.4 to 10%, I think it's in the same vicinity, equal numbers. So, you know, we haven't been discounting heavily or anything like that. We did some campaigns at the height of the pandemic when the curfews first started. But right now it's business as usual, more or less.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Wing Brown Librium, from Librium. Please go ahead.
Morning, gents. Just a few questions from me. In Russia, you tested 50 stores with the aggregators, and you said that was successful. Can you just walk us through what that means, what success looks like? Just take us through the store metrics on a standalone basis, and then including the impact of the aggregators. And then you spoke about investing in your platform, making it more stable, making it faster. Can you just elaborate exactly what you mean by that? I always thought that your your IT infrastructure was pretty robust. So where fundamentally are the improvements being seen? And then lastly, clearly the performance on the aggregators picked up significantly in the half. And I think you've done that by also promoting more on the aggregators. So can you just, within the realms of the like-for-like sales performance, which looks quite robust in Turkey and improving in Russia, talk us through the price dynamics that you're seeing on the aggregators and how that's driving that performance and the benefits you're seeing that in volumes? Thanks.
Yeah. About the aggregator, of course, when you are in aggregator, there is a commission involved there. And the other big question is whether we are getting new customers or is aggregator taking our customers. When in this test, we want to see return on investment, like extra sales and new customers through aggregator. And these figures were positive for us. So we decided, and our franchisees joined with us because, you know, if they didn't see the profit, they wouldn't be in this platform. We have the best online ordering platform in Turkey, maybe in the Domino's world, but this is a non-ending marathon, you know. You have to do better and better all the time. The volume in our online ordering platform is growing very fast. So we are in a cloud platform. When you are in cloud platform, the system has to be more scalable and adapted to the cloud platform so that it will be more efficient, it will be less costly, and it will be faster. We are talking about being fast in milliseconds. So that was the main target. So we are also comparing existing system right now. As I mentioned, 50% of our traffic is going through the new architecture. The other 50% is going from the old platform. So we compare the KPIs here. So what we expect, even if you improve milliseconds of faster customer experience and execution of the order, that usually increases your conversion rate, which means the amount of people entering to the internet site. Let's say if 25% of these people are ordering, now we are targeting to make this to 30%. So this is the main target. When I say faster and about the stability, when you have a bigger demand to the internet site, because the volume is increasing all the time, so you need to your online order platform has to be stable. It should not affect. So that's the main two reasons for making this new architecture. Regarding the other question was the aggregator market in Russia. Am I right, Wayne?
Yes, that's correct. So if you can just run us through the store metrics, and you said it was successful. So just to get an understanding on probably the impact on the margin structure within Russia if that continues to grow at pace.
I mean, in terms of margins, there is not a big difference because, yes, we are paying some commission there, but on the other hand, we are getting marketing support and we are selling with a better food cost. So the margin difference is very minimal. And as I said earlier, we have a couple of percent better return there, but at the moment the aggregator market is growing very fast in Russia because during the curfew everybody was in aggregator and there is a huge competition in the aggregators right now in Russia, because everybody is delivering from burgers to Chinese chicken, all kind of retail food is in aggregators.
Okay, and sorry, one last question, a follow-up. You said the food cost margin is better as a result. Can you just explain that? Why? How?
Because, you know, 90% of our sales are through campaigns. You know, you can make 50% campaign, 30% campaign, 20% campaign. So if the campaign is less aggressive in the aggregator, more aggressive in your online order platform, your food cost is better in the aggregator.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask an audio question, you may do so by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. Again, it's 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask an audio question. Our next question comes from Harry Wilkinson from Budget Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a follow-up on the numbers that you were mentioning for July and August. Is there any more detail you can give us on and how things are trending so far? Like, you know, just high-level numbers on the performance in Turkey and Russia.
I mean, in Russia, the main increase is coming from delivery. Our takeaway sales are still much lower than last year. So mainly digital and delivery is driving the, you know, growth. In Turkey, you know, the inflation rate is around 11-12%. So I can say the ATP increase is coming through the inflation. The rest of it is coming from the order growth. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does help. And in terms of, you know, if we're COVID aside, if we're looking at a normalized situation, should we expect that, you know, this increased proportion coming from delivery and online, does that result in a lower operating expense structure? Like, as in, you know, should we see higher margins if we look on a normalized basis for greater delivery and online?
In the store level, yes. I mean, in delivery, usually every check price is higher compared to carry-out. But in this case, labor cost is higher in the delivery. Usually margins are the same. That's how we build our business. But in absolute terms, you make more money in delivery.
Got it. That's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ali Nasser from Budget Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for the call. I just wanted to ask a question about the new advisor to the board and clarify. Did you say that the options that he will be awarded at a strike price was it 1.05? And would it come from new shares or would it come from the largest shareholder in the company?
From the largest shareholder.
Okay, that's really useful. And then just in terms of, you know, do you see his role being more advisory or do you see something a little more strategic in terms of maybe the relationship with, you know, with the Domino's enterprise ecosystem and things like that? I mean, do you see something where it extends beyond just an advisory role on the operational side?
I mean, Andrew is a very good friend of mine for the last 20 years, and he is retired from Domino's Pizza Enterprises. Mm. So we have very good relationship, and he loves the company. Actually, he has some shares in the company also. So we just wanted to work together. That was the, I mean, and I believe he has a lot of experience that he can help me. So that's something I organized with the board, and everybody was happy. That was the main target.
Got it. And then just on the obviously, you're one of the largest shareholders in the company. Given where the stock price is today, you're obviously focused on operations. That's the key thing. But are there discussions at the board level about just the valuation of the DP Eurasia at this point? And how do you think about KPIs that are linked to stock compensation when the stock is so far out of the money at this stage?
Look, I mean, I don't know what to say about this. Unfortunately, this year, because of pandemic, it was a challenge. But other than that, the last 3 years, we have been growing. We have been increasing like for like. We have been increasing our sales. I mean, in the medium term, I really believe on this business a lot. And I strongly believe we'll as this pandemic goes to normal, we'll come back to our normal sales levels, EBITDA margins, and hopefully shares will take care of itself. My job is to grow at this stage was to protect the company. Now it will be again, we'll make plans to grow the company. I strongly believe on this.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Esther.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Wayne Brown from Liberum. Please go ahead.
Aslan, clearly the larger shareholder wouldn't have granted that call option to Andrew if they didn't fundamentally believe that he could help execute growth with the strategy. Neither would you have brought him on board, and he clearly does have a superb reputation. But I'm just curious if, and maybe it's too early, what his first thoughts are or his first initiatives might be with regards to helping you deliver strategy, or where his first thoughts are, where the areas of improvements could be?
Well, actually, right now we are in the stage of everything is very early now. Talking with him about the challenges, due diligence, and this business is not only about strategy, it's about the people.
Yeah.
So I have already updated you about our execution. Strategic-wise, it's the right. I think it's the right steps, but we need to execute it very well. So everything is very new right now. We just started, 1 week before. So we'll work together and we'll try to improve our execution and strategy better and better.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. There appears to be no further questions, so I'll hand back to the speakers for any other remarks.
Thanks for listening and joining to our call. I wish you a good day. Thanks again.
Thank you. This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.